Many commentators have criticized the Trump administration for what they say is its continuing assault on scientific expertise. They point to tax cuts, ending regulatory oversight of corporations, and plans to privatize government services. In addition, some say that the undermining and destruction of public health expertise is part of President Trump's larger culture war. KPFA weekend news anchor and KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with Joseph Feinglass, a research professor of medicine in the Division of General Internal Medicine and Geriatrics at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine, about the administration's attacks on science and what that has to do with the culture war.
You believe that the Trump administration is anti-science in a way, that they're waging some kind of cultural war against science? What would science have to do with their cultural war?
So this is a great question, and I'm guessing a lot of KPFA readers know the facts about the cuts that have been occurring to public health, to the CDC, to the FDA, to all of the regulatory agencies, all the environmental science, occupational health and safety, everything from gun violence prevention to mental health and substance use cuts and infectious disease cuts. This is unprecedented. It's dramatic attack on universities and on the scientific and technical infrastructure of the United States. So when you get to the question of what is, I think what you're asking me is, why is this happening? And it's, somewhat of a complicated story, but I think, one thing that it's not about is it's not about just cutting government spending in order to afford tax cuts for billionaires, which is what, is in the new budget bill regarding extension of the Trump tax cuts. That's, a minor part of this. Most of the cuts that are occurring will actually hurt the U.S. economy, will cost money for the government. But I think the attack on science, as many of your listeners probably already know, I'm reminded of Al Franken's famous quote, facts have a liberal bias. They don't like the whole idea of scientific and technical elites having prestige and forming a civil society barrier to authoritarian rule and the imposition of a particular ideological viewpoint by the president and his billionaire cabinet and oligarchic supporters. So this is basically an idea of getting rid of a major opponent that they see to their kind of agenda for taking over American society. Universities are seen as an enemy. The Project 2025 called for, they're seen as breeding cultural Marxism and in, indoctrinating people into a woke point of view, meaning that they tend to support things like healthcare for the poor and for equality, income and racial and ethnic equality in the United States. So they see this as a major obstacle to their ideology. And in the Project 2025, they wanted to strike what they called existential terror into the universities. And this is what they have been going about. I'm at Northwestern, which has had its federal funding frozen over supposedly being a hotbed of anti-Semitism, which is laughable. The pretext is actually fomenting anti-Semitism rather than attempting to do anything about it. They, are basically not even negotiating. They're not even saying, well, here's what we want you to do. They tried that with Harvard, and Harvard, get rid of your Middle Eastern Studies department, do this, do that. Harvard finally said, no, we're going to sue. With Northwestern, they're just refreezing the funds, and they're not really offering any type of negotiation or solution to this that would unfreeze the funds at this point. Beyond that, I think the whole cuts to the NIH that have been occurring are directly a way of getting at the universities, which is, of course, where especially the large national universities that are either federally funded or large state universities get a lot of their funding from the National Institute of Health. The humanities don't make money for universities. They don't get federal funding, yeah, although they've cut off what little bit there was. But the NIH is a big funder of universities, and that's why the NIH budget's being cut 40% in the new budget, and they've laid off 20,000 people from the Department of Health and Human Services. Well, 10,000 people were fired, and 10,000 people left early at the Department of Health and Human Services. So this is the kind of thing where we can talk more about it, but there's a number of different interrelated ideological currents in the Trump administration that are creating this war on universities and on the scientific and technical elites who potentially could be influential opponents of their rule.
And yet, there are conservative people in the scientific field. You'd think that they would be concerned as well. I'm thinking of someone, if you go back to the Reagan administration, what was his name? Everett Koop was the Surgeon General.
Well, there's always a history of Republicans supporting NIH, supporting scientific research. And in fact, I think when you look at American capitalism in the 21st century, one of the things that you realize is that the entire growth of economic development in the United States is based on university-funded research through the federal government. And so what you can see is that corporations have generally leased out the R&D to the federal government. This is true of the pharmaceutical industry, the defense industries. All of these corporate structures are based on federally funded research and development funding.
Well, we could see that with the computer industry and the Defense Department,
You know, which is the origin of all of the research innovations. I mean, look at the pharmaceutical industry, all the drugs that have been created, you know, the starting with lipid-lowering drugs and things like GLP-1 weight loss drugs. All of that was based on federal scientists working in not-for-profit universities and then making those advances available to corporate drug company research. So it's the kind of thing where, in a way, what you're doing here is you're dealing a serious blow to economic development by cutting. NIH, by the way, was not increasing its funding that much since the early 2000s. The actual level of funding, inflation adjusted, has been about the same. So it was a very competitive, NIH was a very competitive world before Trump. So now you have a situation where, you know, they're basically knocking out a whole new generation of scientists. One of their biggest targets for cancellation of grants and so forth was training programs. Anything that was going to create the new generation of scientists, particularly a new generation of diverse scientists, was cut and was terminated. We've seen that at Northwestern with, you know, grant terminations of every kind of infectious disease research, everything about vaccines, everything about prevention of HIV. HIV could have been eradicated in the next 10 or 15 years. And they've set that back a generation now by just cutting millions and billions of dollars in infectious disease funding.
Again, you know, you have someone in the administration like Elon Musk. You know, he's got Tesla. He's got SpaceX. You know, this takes a certain amount of scientific and technical expertise to set those companies up and to make them successful.
Yes, a very good point. However, here's the interesting thing, and I think this is another strain of the ideology. These guys believe in AI as the future, that AI will actually replace bench science and that you will have an increasing reliance on AI. What's really interesting is a certain focus by these tech billionaires like Musk on AI, quantum computing, space exploration, and nuclear power. They will fund those things, but they have no interest in actual historic scientific research. So there is an interesting thing, too, by the way, and this is, again, a little bit of a tangent on the conversation, but a lot of these venture capitalists and the private equity guys and financiers, and particularly the tech people who are heavily into AI, are now also on all these university boards, and they're big donors to universities. They themselves are part of the backlash against universities now, with donors, you know, withdrawing their funds, and, you know, because the universities are too woke. And to some extent, it's a reaction to their own workforces in Silicon Valley, who tend to be very woke. The scientific and technical workforce of Silicon Valley is very liberal, but these billionaire owners, not so much. And yes, there is a history of bipartisan support for science in America that Trump is just absolutely trashing. And it's a very interesting question why Republicans have not stood up. And many of the red state institutions have been hit. University of Alabama at Birmingham, places like that have also been hit badly by these cuts and terminations. And just the general attack on universities by going after their endowments, through taxing their endowments, and going after the whole idea of indirect cost reimbursement for NIH grants, which is what universities use to fund the research laboratories. So this is, you know, a complicated thing. And I think tech billionaires are part of the Trump coalition that is interested in also bringing universities to their knees and getting them to bend the knees, so to speak. And I think the other big piece of it is the COVID backlash. You know, the huge population of people that believes that the real problem with COVID was the vaccinations. That was what caused all the problem. You know, the people who wear the T-shirts that say, "I survived Fauci," when in fact, COVID vaccines save millions of lives here in the United States and around the world. There is this major libertarian new age kind of backlash that we see with Kennedy and others that sees vaccination as the evil. And it's
weird. A lot of new age people are kind of left of center, but there's this group that's kind of right wing.
There's an overlap between crazy right wing and crazy left wing. And it's part of this long history, as what Hofstadter called the paranoid imagination in American politics, of just sort of this conspiracy thing of people who do their own research on the internet and therefore know better than the scientists, and that scientists are an elite that should be brought down. And this is something that, again, it's very much part of a larger attack on education and on public education in particular. We see this in terms of the cuts to the elimination of the Department of Education and its support for public schools, the idea of vouchers replacing public schools so that people can go to private schools where there's ideological uniformity. And you have this ability now to go after, you know, these education department cuts are very, very important in terms of both attacks on universities and even on things like community colleges. So you have a situation now where public education is seen as socialism by people on the right. And maybe they're right. Maybe public education is socialism in the sense of everyone being treated the same and creating a community across different tribal groups in the United States. But the reality
is just the vision of the founders, right? To have democratic education, that kind of thing.
Yes. And that it was a tremendous strength of American democracy that you could have people all from different communities getting a common education that allows them to communicate across community boundaries is one of the fundamental reasons for public schools. Instead of being just indoctrinated in a particular sector faith in your education. And this is what's under attack right now. A lot of this is also anti-regulatory. Another big part of the Trump administration reasons for being anti-science is to free American corporate interests. Many of these billionaire guys that are, you know, the oil company executives that are running the EPA or the people that want to gut the National Institute of Occupational Health and Safety was eliminated. People who are doing climate change research all got cut. So you have all the people fired at NOAA. National Atmospheric Ocean Atmospheric Administration, people in the FDA, people doing tobacco control, which isn't even funded by taxpayer dollars. It's funded by tobacco industry. The Office of Tobacco Control was eliminated. You know, so the kids that are, you know, this is the group that gives money to states and cities to prevent kids from smoking under age 18 smoking. That office was eliminated, which has zero cost to the taxpayers in the first place. You have no longer having inspections for salmonella on chicken farms, and the milk inspectors all got fired. You know, you have, you know, this across the board anti-regulatory, anti-environmental science agenda.
Do you see this kind of thing happening in other so-called authoritarian states that Trump is said to be modeling?
Of course. Hungary is the great example where they went after the universities and took over their boards and so forth. Yes, this is happening in any authoritarian regime. The key is to get rid of the media, independent media, and the independent academic world and put it under government control and ideological control of the leaders. This is a worldwide phenomenon. And again, the cost to America is going to be gigantic.
Because it'll be very hard to catch up.
And you're destroying a whole new generation of people that wanted to become scientists. And by the way, the people that they fired, a lot of these were the data scientists and the people that were bringing in new techniques and new ways of doing things for the federal government. And these are the people that were the first to go. The people that were going to create more efficiency and government efficiency are the ones that were cut first.
So they might go to other countries.
And, you know, there's a lot of people going to be out there looking for jobs.
That's Northwestern University research professor Joseph Feinglass speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on May 27th, 2025.